Welcome to Animateez, a retro anime review comedy podcast. Join our resident anime nerd Mackenzie and anime noob Lindsay as they delve into their VHS vault and review the best and worst of what the 80s and 90s had to offer. These episodes contain spoilers and adult language, so stick around if you're cool like that.
What are you doing? Look at your... Why do you look like that?
Yapapa, yapapa, welcome to the pod. Yapapa, yapapa, how are you, Lindsay?
Oh my gosh, I hate you. I'm doing good. Just living my best life, you know, with the circus still. And
That's right.
Yeah.
And just to be clear for people listening, you're not in the circus. You're making the circus happen.
Yes. I'm the person backstage helping with all the magic. So
real magic.
Yeah.
Yeah. Real
literal
magic.
Literal witchcraft.
Literally witchcraft.
Literally witchcraft.
Like literally?
Oh my gosh.
Witchcraft.
Yep. How are you?
I'm very tired because I accidentally ate too much food and then went into a food coma last night, which I don't normally nap. So doing naps is super awkward for me.
How do you not nap? Napping is like my favorite thing.
In a year, between the time of waking up and going to bed, I will nap in 365 days, maybe 5 days a year.
Oh my gosh. I'm like, I'll probably nap 340 days of the year.
Nope. If I nap, I am not falling asleep, and I already sleep only from 6 a.m.
Yeah, you don't need to not sleep. You can just rest.
If I do, I'll fall asleep.
Okay.
Well. If I do, I won't sleep at night. I already only sleep from like 5 to 6 a.m. until like 9 o'clock. Folks listening at home, that is not a sustainable way to live, so I don't recommend it.
Don't take the health and wellness advice.
No, you really shouldn't. Yeah.
You know whose health and wellness advice we should take?
Whose?
Ranma's. Because that's the episode that's the series we're reviewing today.
Wow.
I wish people could see your face when you responded to that segue.
That was a really good segue.
Hell yeah. Not shoehorned in at all.
No, there was nothing smooth about that.
That was bumpy as cobblestone.
But yes, we are indeed watching Ranma One Half this week. Originally released as a manga in 1984, the anime launched 5 years later in 1989. The story of Ranma follows Ranma Sautome. They are a top-class martial artist and prodigy at the Sautome Anything Goes School of Martial Arts. While training in China, he and his father meet a terrible fate when they accidentally fall into a cursed spring, which we will get more into later in the episode. But to start things off, first impressions.
I really liked this series. Especially I thought the characters were much better fleshed out. And, you know, it was a cute series.
It is a cute series. A lot of the series from this time have a lot of the same tropes. It's often girl wants guy doesn't want girl, guy wants girl doesn't want guy. Mm-hmm. This one is, again, they are being forced to be together.
Neither of them want each other.
But neither of them want each other.
Yeah.
Or so it seems, at least.
At the beginning.
So it was, I've seen Ranma before.
Okay, yeah.
I have not.
Nope.
So this was a very big surprise for you.
Oh, yeah.
Which was fun, because it's always nice to introduce someone to something that you know they're going to enjoy, and you get to like get the messages and like the Snapchats. What the fuck was this?
Well, we watched the first episode together, which was really fun.
And it was really fun. And I think we might kind of do that moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
As much as we can, because it's very funny to see your reactions to things. Sometimes if it's a series I have seen, I just sit there and I'm excited. I'm like, I know exactly what they're gonna comment on. I know it. But I only really remember the first few episodes, so a lot of this was still technically new to me as well.
That's cool.
Which was great. Let's start off with the intro.
Oh my gosh.
Our yapapa. How did you find the intro?
It was another bop. It was an earworm. Like, you know, I may not know the actual lyrics of the song, but that is going to be stuck in my head forever.
Boy, are you in luck.
Oh no.
because not only do I agree with you that it was an absolute friggin' bop that I've been singing to myself all week, I have some of the English lyrics here.
Oh, perfect.
That I'm going to break down for you.
I love it.
The lyrics talk about how Akane, it's sung from Akane's point of view.
Okay.
Does not want Ranma to mess with her heart because she doesn't want him to make her wild like him.
I mean, fair.
Yeah. And as the song goes on, it's talking about how, you know, before him, boys are always on the knees for her and how he should tease her. And then it starts to get into, since she ran into him, his heart's, her heart's been getting to, being stolen by him, but she still doesn't want him to make her wild like him.
Mm-hmm.
And by the end of the song, she's saying, hey, someday we may be more than friends. It seems as though you've made me wild like you.
Aww, and it's kind of this slow burn.
That slow burn, that transition from like, ugh, to, okay, maybe you're not so bad. Maybe there's nothing wrong with being a little wild. Which is you know, not wrong.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just need to open yourself up and, you know,
get to know someone.
Whether you're being forced to or not, you can't be mad at them because of that.
Yeah, exactly.
Which leads us into episode one.
Well, actually, before we go in episode one, I want to say another thing about the intro is I love that they incorporated a gym whistle into the music. Because it is such a activity-based plot for a lot of it.
That's a good point, actually. That's very true.
I thought it was a nice touch.
Which makes me realize that another kind of intro trope of the 80s is that, like, that panic sound.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, da-na-na-na, diddle-diddle-diddle-diddle-diddle, that comes in the middle of it. I think there was three or four time changes and like tone changes in the song, which normally doesn't work as well, but for this, it just seems to work really well.
Well, and when you add the addition of like the lyrics into it, it kind of goes with the difference of like, no, I don't like you. Don't make me wild like you, to like, okay, I kind of do, but still don't make me wild like you. And then, oh, maybe we could be more. So it definitely segments up that emotional transition of the lyrics.
And then again, as per usual, the outros are not really much to talk
about.
It's there. It's much calmer, I've noticed, for a lot of them. And I think it's just because like it winds you down after the episode.
Mm-hmm.
But this is one of the few anime that I, after I've seen the intro once, I usually skip. But every single episode I watched, I had the intro song play, which probably didn't help with it being stuck in my head.
No.
But
it is now burrowed in there.
Oh, yeah. It's like the yapapa, yep. I've just literally been walking around, getting groceries last night. In my head, I was just like, yapapa, yapapa.
Oh, yeah. Yapapa. I'll be backstage in a quick change and just being like, yapapa.
And at least no one's going to judge you because you said that one of the people in the show was watching One Piece.
Yeah, I have no idea what they do on the show. But yeah, they were watching One Piece while they were steaming their soup backstage. So I was like, all right.
Perfect.
Yep.
If it works, it works.
Exactly.
On episode one.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the one we had watched together.
Yeah, this is the one we watched together.
And it starts by a young girl being chased and fighting a panda.
Oh my gosh. Because you didn't tell me anything about the show. You were just like, all right, we're watching this. And I was like, suspicious. And then, yeah, I was like, why is this giant? I mean, first off, the panda's adorable.
Mm-hmm.
Love a panda. But then I was like, why is she being chased? What is going on?
Well, and it's not just that, but when you saw the intro, you're like, oh, little tiny panda.
Yep.
And then 10 seconds later, it's this giant panda fighting a child.
I know. I was like, oh, all right.
And after some fights, our titular character is knocked out and dragged away. After...
Yeah, just a panda kidnapping a child.
Mm-hmm.
As you do.
Yeah, because they're taking them to their arranged marriage.
Japan is wild.
It's a lot of that, a lot of older anime. This is where we meet Son and his daughters.
Yep.
Akane, Nobiki, Kasume.
Mm-hmm.
Who are initially freaking out because there's a panda in their house.
I would freak out too if there was a panda in my house.
Exactly. When Ranma at the time is then presented, and I remember you looking at me being like, Ranma's a guy. Who is this?
This is a woman. What is going on?
And... this is where we learned that Ranma is a girl.
Yep.
And
there
Son...
is a lot of boob touching to just confirm that she is a girl.
Accidental at that point, because he kind of hugs her and realizes
no,
that
but
something's...
the daughters are like, boop, boop.
That is true. I think it was Kabiki who was like,
These are boobs.
Yeah.
Can confirm.
And Sun, confused, is still like, they're still our guests.
Mm-hmm.
We'll still let them be. And so Ranma and Akane go off to train.
Yeah.
And there's a little bit of a training session where we learn that Ranma is very good.
Yeah, they kind of like bond over their martial arts skills.
They do initially.
Yep.
And you're like, oh, they're going to be friends.
I know. I was like, yeah, girl power.
And then after they spar, they go to have, or they she recommends Ranma have a bath.
Mm-hmm.
So Ranma goes to the bathroom and pours cold water over themselves.
It's funny because when that happened, I was like, oh, yeah, because it's good for your muscles.
Uh-huh. And I had a little smirk on my face. And then Ranma, realizing that the water was not preferable at that temperature, decides to say, screw it, and have a hot bath. And as this happens...
Yeah, what happens, Tyler?
The scene cuts over, and there's now a boy in the bath.
Yep.
And the confusion on your face was great.
I was like, first off, the hair color changed. What?
I think it was your first question. You're like, why'd the hair change?
Yep.
And then
the boobs were gone.
Yep. But then Akane, deciding, oh, Ranma's a girl, we can just have a bath together, it's not a big deal.
Yep.
Walks in as Ranma's getting out of the bath and sees a boy in the bathroom, both of them standing naked, casually and very slowly backs up, gets dressed, takes a breath, and then screams and runs through the house about a pervert in the bathroom.
Hey, safety, you don't know who this person is. You don't want to freak out in front of them and raise suspicion. You gotta wait till you're a safe distance away and then freak the fuck out.
And then proceeds to rip the table out from underneath her father.
Oh, right. And use it as like a self-defense weapon. Yep. Oh my gosh.
And this random man who is sitting with her father.
Yep.
And out walks Ranma, and in the most just like depressed sounding voice, just, sorry about this. And then we learn that the man sitting with Sun
mm-hmm.
was the panda.
Oh my gosh.
He's
Amanda? Nope.
No, that doesn't work.
That was a terrible pun.
That was an absolutely terrible pun. But we love you for it. This is where we are told of what happened.
Yeah, their origin story.
Which is an unfortunate representation of the Chinese in this scene.
Yeah.
It happens a couple times throughout the series, I've been told.
Even the English dub in this part
is
problematic.
Very problematic.
Holy moly.
But the story itself is they go to this ancient spring and they have a tour guide who's explaining, oh, it's a cursed spring. Each spring has its own, you know, fateful thing that happened to it where a girl died or a panda. A panda died, exactly. And if you fall into the spring, actually, he didn't even get that far until afterwards. Like, if you fall into the spring, you turn into the thing.
Yep.
After they've already fallen into the spring.
Also, I love that all these cursed springs are just all together. Like, all these terrible events just happened to this one
spot.
Yeah.
You think, like, after the first five, people might be like,
maybe start putting up fences.
Exactly.
You know.
And Ranma knocks his father into the water, who then emerges as a panda. And mm-hmm. Ranma's like, what the fuck's going on? And gets their ass knocked into a spring.
Yep.
And
turns into a girl.
And we cut back to the family with Sun crying his tears out, streaming down his face about how unfortunate and sad it is, but how it doesn't really change anything.
No, they're just like, all right, well.
And how he's still technically a boy at times.
Yep.
And he should marry one of his daughters.
Oh my gosh. Yep.
And
is Akane still holding the table at this point still too?
No. Akane at this point has calmed down a little bit after listening to the story, but she held it for a while.
Yeah. I was like, wow. The guns on this girl.
Yeah. And so we cut back and Sun is like, which one of my daughters will be best for you?
And they all fight over
who
should be.
No,
I mean like who else should, like.
Oh, it shouldn't be me.
It shouldn't be me.
It should be Akane.
Yeah.
And every single, and even like Sun is like, yeah, Akane makes sense. She's the closest to his age.
Yep.
They're both, you know, they'll be perfect together. You guys are getting married. And then, of course, it finishes off with Akane once again walking in on Ranma, but this time as a girl.
Oh, yep.
But now knowing that they are also a boy, freaks out. And I have to say, this is not Ranma's fault. She keeps screaming at him about this and getting mad that he saw her naked. And he makes a good point. You walked in on me.
Yeah. Also, yeah. Why are there no bathroom locks on the doors?
I couldn't tell you.
I don't know.
But she's like, you pervert. And he's like, you walked in on me.
Yep.
Like, sorry.
Yeah.
And like the first time, I get it. You thought it was going to be a girl's son.
What is
whatever.
It? Once is an instance, twice is a hobby.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. But the second time when it happens, it's like she gets mad at it again. It's like, no, it's not their fault. Fucking knock on the door.
Give them privacy. Don't just barge into the bathroom.
Exactly. And that episode ends with that scene.
Yep.
as we head into the second episode, we learn that Akane has a bit of a problem with every boy at school.
Oh, yeah. Just all of them wanting to kick her ass as soon as she gets to school in the morning.
Which we learn is because Blue Thunder, the kendo champion of the school.
Oh, yeah.
Has told and made a decree that the only person who's allowed to date Akane is whoever can defeat her in combat.
They're like, yeah, let me at her.
Which is insane for a few reasons.
I mean, there's a lot of reasons.
One, why does everyone keep trying to dictate Akane's life?
Right? Let her pick her own, like, everything. Let her body, her choice.
Mm-hmm. We also learn Akane can clearly handle herself.
Oh, yeah. She's a badass.
She is. She's a good martial artist.
Oh, yeah.
She fucks these dudes up.
Mm-hmm.
But she's actually still scared of Blue Thunder. When he approaches her, she gets nervous because he is talented.
Yeah.
He's a poetic, in a bad way,
douchebag. Like cheesy beatnik, like snaps at everything.
If the moon was shining right, my heart would reflect in your eyes and you'd be blinded by my love, Akane. Like something
I'm just
stupid like
of
that.
Like Mike Myers and being like, whoa, man. Whoa, man.
Oh, God. And that whole episode kind of focuses around this introduction of Blue Thunder and his, like, love for Akane.
It's not even love. It's, like, infatuation. Mm-hmm. Like, it is not just, like, it's wild how, like, obsessed he is.
And, well, when he learns that Ranma is engaged to Akane, he freaks out and he attacks him at the end.
Mm-hmm.
And the episode ends with them falling into a pool the school.
I just love that. Ranma was like, I know a quicker way out. And then is like surprised that there's a pool. And I'm like, you jumped out of a third story window and you were expecting to land on concrete?
Which would probably be fine for Ranma, let's be honest.
I mean.
But it is still hilarious.
Oh my gosh.
That you don't look before you jump.
You don't look before you leap.
And this is my character notes, gonna mention it now. Ranma has a bad habit of always hanging out or like walking along thin railings alongside rivers.
So much.
If you have a problem with water, don't go near the water.
Don't walk on the tiniest pole that's the most precarious that may or may not land you in water.
Exactly. The weird thing coming into episode 3 is that they redid the ending of episode 2.
Oh, yeah, they did at the front. Yeah, at the beginning of the episode.
New dialogue, new animation of the exact same scene of him attacking Ranma going underwater.
Yep.
Where, of course, he finds this girl and instantly now falls in love.
Oh, my gosh, this girl who's in the exact same clothes as Ranma. Has pretty much the exact same hair, but a different color. Mm-hmm.
And he's like, oh my gosh, who's this girl? And of course, sees them again later in the park when Ranma's trying to change back, but didn't get to in time, and falls in love with the pigtailed girl.
Oh my gosh. This is very much like that trope of like, oh no, I can't see the flesh around her eyes. Who could she possibly be?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. The Superman effect.
So episode 4 was really fun and had some pretty problematic things in it.
All right. I would love to talk so much about this episode. Did you hear that sound?
Oh no, what was that?
Do you know what that sound means?
No.
It means it's time for a mini game.
Oh no.
Welcome to Ranma Trivia.
Oh no, I'm gonna fail so hard.
Your question is,
oh no,
when originally writing Ranma,
oh no,
what was the thing that triggered their transformation?
Tobey Maguire.
Incorrect. Try again.
The first thing that triggered the change?
Before water.
Earth. Air. Wind. September. Oh, wait, wind! Wind! Was it wind?
No.
Temperature.
It has nothing to do
with an element?
With the elements.
Again, Tobey Maguire. Oh gosh, I don't know. What was it?
I will give you a hint.
Okay, give me a hint. Give me a very...
Something that happens often in the episodes.
Pandas.
No.
Fighting.
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Originally, Ranma was set to change every time they were punched.
Oh, that would be so confusing and happen too much.
Exactly. Which is why Rumiko Takahashi very quickly decided to change that because they realized they would be changing.
That was going to be a pain in the ass.
Even in the manga, that they would be changing every other panel.
Yep.
And they changed it to water.
Yeah, that makes more sense.
Right?
I mean, when I say makes more sense, I mean relatively to the, you know...
Yeah,
from
exactly.
A technical standpoint point of view.
That has been Ranma Trivia.
Oh my gosh. What do I win? A high five.
Yeah. Back to episode 4, which, as you said, we have a lot to discuss. Before we get to the point that I think we both want to talk about,
yep.
I need to talk more about Blue Thunder. Because the episode starts with Ranma having this.
Also, Blue Thunder is like the worst porn name ever.
Yeah, it is. I'm going to Google later if any porn stars are named Blue Thunder. It starts with him having this nightmare where it's just Blue Thunder. I can't remember his actual name. I'm just going to keep
like
calling
Taka,
him Blue Thunder.
Taka Muri or something?
Taka something?
Takahashi?
I don't remember. But Blue Thunder is so funnier. Sorry. It's better than my notes, which just calls him Rose Guy. Because he like tuxedo masks a rose at Akane when we first meet him.
Oh yeah, he does.
He does. But Ranma has this terrible dream about him, chasing him,
mm-hmm.
which then leads to the funniest line of the episode, which is said multiple times. I love you. I would date with you.
Can we get that with more energy?
I love you. I would date with you. I love you. I would date with you. I love you. I would date with you.
And one more for safety.
I love you. I would date with you.
All right, good. I think we got it.
No, I think we need to get an evil one first.
Oh, yeah.
I love you. I would date with you.
Wow.
And you know what? One more for good measure. Hello, everybody.
How dare you?
I love you. I would date with you.
Oh my gosh.
Anyways, I originally loved Nabiki.
Mm-hmm.
Thought she was super sassy.
She was the middle child.
Smart and to the point.
Yep. Doesn't mess around.
But as it turns out, she is
a predator.
The worst person in
oh
the show
gosh,
so far.
So terrible. I was like, she's the real villain.
What does she do?
Sneaks in on Ranma sleeping, pours water on her, or him at the time, and then takes very suggestive photos of her because she's sleeping in a tank top, and everybody with boobs knows what happens when you fall asleep in a tank top. They go on an adventure.
And then decides to take photos of her sister,
mm-hmm.
Akane.
Mm-hmm.
And what does she do with these photos?
Oh, something very shameful that nobody should ever do. Sell them? No, you don't do that. Not consensually. Oh my gosh. Yeah. She's just like, let's sell these for, what was it? Like 100 yen?
1,000 yen.
1,000 yen.
100 yen is pennies.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm pretty sure, yeah, 100 yen is a much.
She sells them to Blue Thunder, whose actual name is Tadawaki Kuno.
That's it. I knew there was a Tata at the beginning.
She makes him buy her food.
Yep.
Each
which
batch.
Which I was a little bit like, yes, girl.
Until it turns out what she was selling.
Yeah, until she started selling the photos. Then I was like, oh no. But then the fact that she kept being like, yeah, I'll tell you more about those for like coffee and hot dogs or whatever.
Spaghetti.
Yep,
and
spaghetti,
ice cream.
She had coffee at one point.
True. And she sells these suggestive photos of Ranma and then these fighting photos of Akane
mm-hmm.
to Tadawaki.
So shitty.
And as soon as that happened, my opinion, like first time when she took the photos, I was like, maybe she's just going to fuck with Ranma.
Yeah.
Nope.
Nope.
My opinion instantly changed and I was like, fuck this person. They are the worst.
Oh, yeah. As soon as you're non-consensually taking photos of someone and then profiting off of them, you're a shitty human being.
Oh, my God. It's so shitty. And I was sad because I was like, Nabiki's going to be so cool and like this little force throughout the series.
Oh, yeah. Just like the bratty sister.
And
I love it.
As soon as I saw that, I like quickly Googled, is Nabiki the worst? And everyone was like, if you think she's bad now, watch the rest of the series.
Oh, no. Does she, like, kick puppies?
Nope, but apparently she will sell her family for nickels if she needs to.
What?
Well, it's like in future episodes we'll get to.
Okay.
She starts placing bets against Ranma and tries to get Ranma to lose.
Wow, what a little hustler.
Yeah.
Wow.
I was so sad about it.
Yeah.
We also learn...
Hey, women can be villains too.
Oh, absolutely. Women can do anything they put their mind to, whether it's good or bad.
Yep.
They can do it.
Who run the world?
Girls.
Well, technically it's still men, but.
Well, yes. Who should run the world?
Girls.
Exactly.
Oh my gosh.
Who should not run the world again, though,
men.
Is Mr. Blue Thunder himself. because he's.
He's so emotional.
And extra stupid because
oh, yeah.
Ranma literally tries to explain to him that girl Ranma is boy Ranma.
Oh, yeah. Then he's like. Ugh.
And he just completely ignores it and keeps trying to fight, even though Ranma kept actually saying it.
Hmm. Do you think it was just him being like in denial?
No.
Oh, you think he was just genuinely
he's
that stupid?
Just that stupid. And the episode when Akane's like, what's going on? And Ranma shows the photos to her. Ranma could have freaked out,
mm-hmm.
similar to like Akane did.
Yeah.
But Ranma owned that shit and was like, hey, I look better than you do. And I was like, if someone tries to take your autonomy and you're, instead of freaking out, you're like, no, fuck you. That's right. I'm a badass motherfucker who looks good. Fuck you. It's like, don't let someone take away your autonomy. Give them shit for what
reclaim
they did.
Reclaim it. Yeah.
Reclaim it. And they did that. And of course, Akane was not pleased with this.
I mean, that's fair. It's awful.
Exactly. Episodes 5 and 6 introduce the Doctor.
Oh yeah, Dr. Tofu.
Dr. Tofu.
Ooh, Dr. Tofu.
Who we learn, Akane, is in love with.
Oh, she just has such a crush on him.
And I first thought he was maybe like 22, 23.
Yeah, how old is he?
There's a flashback to where he's helping her when she's a literal child.
Oh, yeah, she's, yeah.
And he's still a doctor, which makes the scene where he freaks out over how much he loves Kasume.
Yeah, who's 16?
19.
19.
She's 19.
Okay.
Legal, but a little weird.
I mean, yeah.
Because I'm pretty sure he's like at least in his 30s.
Oh, yeah, easily.
So I was a little weird by that. But good of a doctor as he is, he's still very dumb.
He's book smart.
He's book smart, exactly. Yeah. He's not very life smart.
He can crack you like a glow stick and get you back in shape, but...
My notes are literally for episode 5. Oh, the doctor's really nice. I'm glad he's not a pervert with Akane and just treats her like
a patient.
And he never gets creepy with her.
Yes, thankfully.
And then my episode note for number 6 starts with, never mind, the doctor's an idiot.
Yep. Oh, and doesn't he have like the little skeleton too?
Yeah,
that
which
was
is adorable.
So cute. I loved that.
The skeleton was great.
Yep.
My notes for episode 6 are, Akane loves being angry.
Yep. I think that's fair. I also liked with this kind of arc, you start to see this development between Akane and Ranma, and like you're starting to see that Ranma is caring for her.
Yep.
And I think that's really cool because it is developing
a little bit. He's still in that cocky caring
phase. But it's like it's slowly chipping away.
But he pulls the line, you should smile more because you're cute when you smile.
Mm-hmm.
And I rolled my eyes so fucking
hard. I was like, don't tell me to smile.
But then it worked.
I know.
And I realized I don't think he was saying it to be a little shit like a lot of like catcalling dudes who drive by. Like, you'd look cute if you smiled.
Yep.
I think he was legitimately saying it to be nice.
Yeah.
In his own like.
Yeah, I agree.
Shitty way.
Yeah.
Which was cute.
Well, and it's nice to get that relationship development. Whereas like, you know, last week when we reviewed Yurusei, if I said that right.
Yurusei.
There was like very little relationship development between the two, and it just kind of got annoying for us. Whereas this, we're actually starting to see relatively quick that they are starting to kind of feel for each other and have
in this, even if it's just a friendship thing, there's that we're kind of accepting that we exist around each other.
Yeah.
And we should at least try to be a little bit nicer.
And it's maybe not as terrible as we originally were, you know, as we originally believed. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Speaking of character development.
Oh no.
Episode 7 features a new female voice for Ranma.
Oh, it does. Okay. I wasn't sure because I thought it sounded different, but I was like, no, I'm just crazy and packing. Like,
nope. The English dub was instantly met with hate.
What? I mean, isn't
because of the voice of Ranma, which is weird because I liked the female Ranma voice.
Well, and it's funny because when we watched it, I thought it was the same voice, like the same person voicing them.
It's very similar.
Yep.
But it's apparently different enough that when they launched it again, starting at episode 7 with the new voice actress, people loved the new voice actress.
That's crazy.
And they continued with that voice actress for the rest of the series. And I think the next time a Ranma voice actor change was for the male version of Ranma, who I think swapped out at episode 70. But that's because they decided to go to flight school.
As you do.
Got to change your career every now and again.
Oh, man. I mean... VO probably doesn't pay as much as a pilot.
This is also the first time that we see Ranma wear girl clothes in their girl form.
Oh, yeah. And she kind of gives a little read of like, the bust is too tight and the waist is too baggy, being like, my boobs are bigger and my waist is smaller. And you're like, wow. Mm-hmm.
And it's all because Kasume is tired of Ranma walking titties out around the house.
Yep.
And we see Ranma in the overalls, which I think were adorable.
Oh, they were so cute.
Then we see the fishnet lingerie, which I don't know how they got them into that quick.
Yeah.
And then the bunny girl suit, which I also don't know how they got them in that quick. but the overalls were definitely my favorite.
Oh, they were so cute. And what did they say on them? Do you remember? I don't remember.
Oh, God. What did they say on them?
It was like serif or something. I remember seeing it and being like, that's a weird thing to put on overalls.
No, it says China.
Really?
Yep.
Oh, man. I wonder.
We are looking at the image.
No, it says, I think I thought it said chino.
Oh, no.
And I was like, chino pants? That's weird. Okay. No,
China. But it's a great little outfit. A little pink overalls, the orangey yellow shirt.
Yep.
I was here for it.
Yep.
And that's kind of mostly what that episode was. There wasn't much else to it. Oh, sorry.
Oh, no.
I'm lying.
Oh, no.
This is where we're introduced to Ryoga.
Oh, my gosh. And Pichan.
This was our first introduction to...
Mr. I would walk 500 miles and I would walk 500 more.
And why is he walking so many miles?
Tell me.
Because he's the worst at directions.
Oh, yeah. He's just like, which way did this high school? And they're like, I guess this way. And then...
And as soon as he gets to the high school, we learn that in the next episode, we learn that he was supposed to meet Ranma for a fight in the lot behind his house.
Yep.
And he somehow ended up traveling the world to find the lot behind his house to fight Ranma.
Wow.
Shows up 4 days late and then keeps traveling looking for Ranma.
Yep.
Until he finally finds Ranma.
And then wasn't it over bread or something?
One of the things Ranma thought it was from all the times he stole food from him in like the busy cafeteria. Because it was like a first come, first serve, the lunch lady just tossing it out. But... we meet Ryoga when he stops this giant boar from attacking the city.
Yep.
And he beats this boar so badly that the next time we see the boar, it's playing games with the townsfolk.
Yep.
And is drawn like on like a shibi like version of itself. Yeah. And it just kind of looks adorable and it's having a good time. And that's how we meet Ryoga, is just this. He seems cool. He fights with an umbrella. Turns out he's bad with directions.
Oh, yeah.
And that leads us into episode 8, where we get into the fight with...
the
with
battle.
Ryoga, and we learn about the bread. We learn about his travels.
Yep.
And, of course, he loses Ranma again and ends up walking all the way back to the town with the pig.
Yep.
And the episode ends with Akane's hair.
Oh, right. Oh, my gosh.
Getting after the entire buildup of her saying her hair is finally long enough to be beautiful like Kasume, so that Dr. Tofu will notice her.
Oh, yeah. And then it gets chopped.
And I felt so bad.
Oh, my gosh. I was like, this poor girl. Because, you know, I've been a 16-year-old girl who's gotten a bad haircut. And, oh, it's heartbreaking.
Mm-hmm.
And she's just like, trauma response, just like, it's fine. And just like, just completely like disassociating. Oops. As I hit my mic.
And exactly. And she goes to Kasume and... Kasume fixes her hair and kind of evens it out. And I like the new haircut.
I like the new haircut too. I think it's cute.
I think it's a very cute haircut.
Yep.
And Dr. Tofu also thinks it's a cute haircut.
Yep.
This episode's a big turning point, episode 9, because Akane realizes she doesn't care for Dr. Tofu anymore.
Yep.
He calls her cute with the short hair. She realizes that for some reason that triggers, you know what? This guy's never going to like me. I need to get over it.
Yep.
I'm done with it. But someone else has a new look. Ranma, their first official outfit change of the series, introduces a new casual outfit for Ranma.
Okay.
Aside from their basic Chinese outfit. It is the pastel orange shirt with short sleeves and the small red bow tie.
Oh, yeah. That was a good look.
It is a good look.
I liked it.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't he change into it to like, correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't he change into it to like go pick her up from Dr. Tofu's or something? And like, my impression was he was doing it to like look nice.
That might be true.
Yeah.
But it now becomes the official secondary outfit of Ranma in the series. But this episode was also a huge episode for character development.
Yeah, I agree.
Between both of them, like a massive jump when that anger between them seems to soften.
Yeah, it's definitely not as like triggered. It's, you know, they can stand being in the same room with each other. They can have a conversation for the most part. And
he calls her hair cute.
Yep. Yeah, he's like genuinely like complimenting her and it's.
And she doesn't accept it at first.
Yep.
And then she kind of stops and says, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And there's just this moment between the two of them. Where you're like, nice.
Yep. And then doesn't he like, and then there's a moment where it's like awkward or something. And then doesn't he like, he just goes like for a tomboy or something. Like he tries to make a joke to be like, oh shoot. Like this is a tender moment. I'm not ready for this.
But she picks up on it.
Oh yeah.
And jokingly pushes him into the water.
Yeah.
On a railing again, multiple times.
Oh man. When will he learn?
And turns into a girl. And the difference between this and Urusei, like you had said, Urusei, was that there's not a lot of development, there's in the last episode that we had watched, there was, but in this, it feels more organic.
Yep.
Because they both don't want to be there, but they both are just being stubborn and not even trying to be friends.
Yeah.
And this kind of feels like that first starting point of like, hey, this
person's actually like not as bad as I think they are.
Exactly.
Yeah. I also thought that these characters feel more three-dimensional than they did in Yurzai. We're going to get roasted so hard for our pronunciation.
It's okay.
You know, like you can kind of see the different interests they have, the different development and stuff like that. So I really appreciated that. Whereas instead of, it was just like, Lum, she's hot and she'll electrocute you and she's obsessed with this guy. Like,
yeah, there's way more depth to these characters.
Yep.
Which we'll get to the individual character breakdown shortly here.
Mm-hmm.
But let's finish off the stories we had watched with episode 10, which focuses again on Ryoga.
Yep.
It's mostly just a bunch of fighting between Ranma and Ryoga.
Yep.
Until we learn that Ryoga, the reason they hate Ranma is Ranma accidentally knocked them into a cursed pool while they were training at the cursed pools. And what pool did he fall into?
The piggy pool,
where he turns into not a cool giant boar.
Nope.
But a tiny little black teacup piglet.
Oh my gosh, it's so cute. I mean, that's literally, she names him Pichan.
Yep.
Cute and pig.
He lives with Akane.
Yep, Akane's just cuddling him.
And does not listen to Ranma at all.
Nope.
When Ranma's trying to explain to her as best he can without breaking the quote-unquote warrior's code, exposing his secret that, like, no, that's Pichan. And it's adorable. I think Pichan is a cute little character.
I love how sassy he is.
He's so sassy. He's so tiny. He expresses way more than Ryoga does.
Oh my gosh, so much.
And
his
Ranma,
little bit,
which, how can you not tell? It's the same bandana that Ryoga was wearing, but Akane's like,
again,
nope.
It's the, like, I can't see the flesh around your eyes.
Exactly. But she loves this little pig.
Yep.
He becomes the heir of a famous estate for a while.
Yep.
And then goes back to being at the house.
Yep.
And Ranma, trying to steal him away, ends up in the bed of Akane.
Yep.
And of course gets in trouble for this. Another thing that's not Ranma's fault.
Oh yeah.
He's trying to help Akane. But that kind of concluded the 10 episodes with an introduction of the piglet Pichan. Which now you might think, oh, that's a third character that has fallen into the rivers or the little pools of water, the lakes.
The ones that have no fence around them and that anybody can just walk up to.
Yes.
Yeah.
Will there be more?
Oh, I bet you there is.
Well, guess what?
Oh, no. There's not?
Do you hear that sound?
Oh, no.
It's time for another episode of Ranma Trivia.
Oh, no.
All right.
I'm ready.
Question number 2.
Okay.
What is Ranma's one true fear?
Tobey Maguire.
Again, incorrect. Who could fear that man?
What's his one true fear?
Yes.
I was going to say bathing, but
no,
it's not a fear.
In fact, in the manga, Ranma's a clean freak and needs things to be neat and tidy.
Wow. Spiders?
No.
Pandas?
Definitely not. Can't be afraid of daddy.
Oh, don't say daddy.
Daddy Genma. Panda Daddy. Patty.
Remember when I tried to say Amanda?
Yeah, that's true.
That's
anyways, back to the trivia. What is Ranma's greatest fear?
Non-GMO food.
Incorrect. Do you want a hint?
Yes.
In my lifetime, I have had 3 of these.
We dated for 5 months. I don't know.
In my life, I currently have 2 of these.
Cats?
Ding, ding, ding!
Hey!
Ranma really does have a fear of cats, which is unfortunate. It's known as illurophobia. We haven't experienced this yet in the series, nor do we know the cause of it. But
it's like, wow, what a terrible trivia question then. We haven't seen this yet, but I'm going to ask you about it.
Well, we didn't. What about the first question? We didn't see the fact that getting punched ever changed them. So shut up. Let me do my thing.
Let me do this game.
God. Ending our little trivia session there that I completely sprung on you.
I'm here for it.
It came to my mind at like 4 in the morning that I should do this. The thing that makes it seem cheap is a lot of the backgrounds are very clearly like half finished at times half drawn or like very like sketched, but it's done on purpose.
Yeah. I really liked the backgrounds. I thought they were really beautiful.
Exactly. They feel more like paintings.
Yeah. And I really love when animation has that, when you can obviously tell that there's like, you can see the medium that was used to make the backgrounds.
Exactly. It's very different from a lot of the foreground a lot of the time.
Yeah.
The animation gets a kick in the fighting aspect where they actually show the fighting a lot more.
Yep.
Than some other older anime where it's just like, we fight. And you just see like...
It's like stop frames, but then there's like motion lines that are over top of it.
The cheap way of animating.
Yeah.
The one thing that I'm mad about.
Tell me. Get into it. Pop off, sis.
And I don't want them to do it every time. I wanted to see it once and that was it. Is the actual transformation from man to panda and man to girl.
Oh, yeah.
Because it always cuts away.
Yep.
And never actually shows it. Now, you can't do that every time.
I was like, that's like a superhero thing, though.
Exactly.
Like, how many times do you see Spider-Man change into the Spider-Man costume?
Exactly. But you've seen it at least once.
Yeah, that is true.
And that's all I wanted was one time to see the transformation of Genma into this panda.
just Sailor Moon style.
Even that would have been fine.
Yep.
I wanted to see it once. It wouldn't make sense to do it every time. It would get old. It would get boring.
That's like a first episode thing.
Yeah. It's like every time you see Superman spin and take his costume off, it's like, okay, we get it.
Yep. Or like Digivolving.
Oh, I love Digimon, but I don't need to see the same Digivolve.
Yeah, we understand animation. Arugumon becomes Greymon.
Arugalamon.
Arugalamon.
Agumon.
Agumon becomes Greymon. We don't need to see that.
And it's fine once an episode, but sometimes you see them Digivolve like multiple times.
Oh my gosh. Or when they have to do like the five levels of evolution.
And it does all of them in one fucking go instead of like skipping to the end.
It's like just.
Agumon digivolved into Greymon.
Greymon to Metal Greymon. Yeah.
Exactly. So I was hoping to see it at least once. They didn't. But beyond that, I like the character design.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's every character looks different, but is still close enough to like be identifiable from the same series.
Yes, exactly. Like you can, a lot of the problems I've had in previous animations and things like that, even just live action sometimes, is there's not enough differentiation between the characters. So you're like, wait, which one is this? And, you know, particularly I found that American Horror Story does this a lot where it's like, okay, it's like an attractive white man with dark hair, but there's another white man with dark hair and I don't know the difference between them.
Yeah, exactly. Because you know? Like technically, Guy, Ranma, and Ryoga are similar in like overall. If you strip them naked, you'd see like,
yeah, if you put them in the same outfit.
But they do enough with the way that they fight, the costume they wear, that it separates them well enough that you don't have to, you know, get mixed up with everyone looking the same. There's someone posted a thing where they took a Dragon Ball Z character with no hair and then put all of the different Saiyans' hair on it. And they all look like their respective characters when the hair is placed on, but it's the same face.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me.
And I'm like, it kind of ruined it for me. I was like, damn it. That's all I see now.
Oh, man. It's Bulma and Goku are the same one.
Well, no, that one, thankfully, no.
Aw, dang it.
Just all the Saiyans, the male Saiyans, Goku, Vegeta, Trunks, Gohan. They took the exact same, just changed the hair. And it's each time they look different, but it's like, no, it's all the same face now. I never noticed it before.
Damn it.
But apparently this series later on, like halfway through, actually gets a budget cut.
Oh no.
Because they got a new director. But apparently the later episodes are even better after the cut because of the new director.
Okay.
So slight budget cut, better director. And then for some reason they took that cut budget and put it into the movies and made the movies like super high quality.
Oh, wow.
I don't know if those are canon or not. I haven't seen any of them. Nope. I'm sure at some point I will. But overall, I think the animation was... I like it. It's good.
Yeah. Even the amount of background and like atmosphere that is animated is really cool too. Like, you know, school students are actually animated and things like that. So I thought that was really... It just adds to the dynamic visual...
Exactly. They could have had one guy fighting a Akane at a time, but instead they had
15.
They've showed animations of multiple people running in. A lot of older anime will like two people at a time on screen.
Yep.
It's like old video games where you can only have so many sprites on before it gets too hard for the system.
Mm-hmm.
Some anime would do that. But this one's like, we got 20 people fighting on one thing, all motion, all animated, all having something different they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And even when something breaks, like when a pipe is broken or a piece of wood is broken, it splinters. There's pieces that fly out.
Yeah.
Which is nice.
Yeah.
So let's jump into some character dissection.
Ooh.
Starting with Ranma.
Which one?
Both the same person. Both start with boy Ranma, whose name is derived from the Japanese expression Kaito Ranma, which means solving a problem swiftly and skillfully.
Interesting.
Which is funny because it feels like he always prolongs his own problems in the long term. So that's a little fun fact for you.
Just a little wink, wink, nudge, nudge, kind of like cheeky.
Mm-hmm. Now, they're technically the same person.
Yeah, they are.
But male Ranma and female Ranma have slightly different personalities.
Oh, yeah.
And I prefer female Ranma.
Yep. Do you think that maybe those were like intentional from the writer's point of view because of the like different hormones and chemicals and such, like just the different biochemical makeup of men like versus women?
Maybe.
Yeah, because I know that friends of mine who have done like HRT have found that when they start on the hormones, like certain emotions and things like that will change because of the, you know, chemical change in their body. So I wonder if that was like intentional by the writers to have those slight differential personality traits.
Honestly, you're probably correct because it would make sense.
Yeah.
There's no reason for it to not be that way, except for identifying that that can happen. And as you've explained from, you know, friends who are trans, who've gone through hormone replacement therapy, they often experience that change. Mm-hmm. I've had friends who've transitioned from female to male and have been like, I've never been so angry in my life.
I have all this testosterone. I need to rage.
Literally.
Yeah.
They're Travis Willingham-ing it and needing to rage.
I was just thinking of my friends who have gone from male to female. They find that they definitely are a lot more emotional.
And that's not, and folks, being emotional is not a bad thing.
No.
If anything, more men should be more in tune with their emotions.
Get in touch with your emotions. Get rid of the emotional constipation out there.
Speaking of emotional constipation, Rama's got a lot.
Yep.
And
does not want to express feelings. Hence, the, you know, you look cute, and then makes a joke about her being a tomboy.
Yep, exactly. And I understand that they are in a position they don't want to be in.
Yep.
So it's hard to feel like their anger isn't justified.
Yeah.
Not only are they being forced to be with someone they don't want to currently be with,
mm-hmm.
they're also forced into this body they don't want.
Yep.
Which I don't personally think is something saying, you know, women are bad and that Ranma's mad that he's a woman because it's a woman.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's more so they're in a body that they don't want.
Yeah, exactly. It's a body that's not theirs and it doesn't feel right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But they are slowly coming to terms with it.
Yep.
Later on in the series, they become a lot more understanding and accepting of it. There's a clip from a manga I saw last night where Ranma acknowledges that when they're in their girl form, they can get a lot more things if they flirt a little.
Oh, yeah.
So whenever Ranma's like, whenever I want free stuff, I'm just going to turn into my girl mode.
Yep.
Which, hell yeah, make it work for you.
Well, exactly. Yeah. Well, and it's funny because I was thinking about the show Misfits that was on the BBC back mm-hmm. in the early 2010s. And at one point they have Curtis, his superpower is he can turn into a girl. And that was a very interesting character arc. Some slightly problematic things.
Slightly.
Yep.
But this one, I feel like they're handling it pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Ranma has a slight history of what feels like homophobia.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure if it's actual homophobia or Ranma's just straight and doesn't want another guy hitting on them, which is perfectly fine.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Unwanted male advances are never fun for anyone.
I think my exact note I have here, I'm unsure if it's strictly because they don't want Blue Thunder hitting on them.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want just guys hitting on them, but they're like fine with other guys.
Nobody wants Blue Thunder hitting on them.
Or Ranma doesn't want guys at all hitting on him, mm-hmm. which is understandable. If that's not what you're into, it's all good. We haven't seen any like proof that it's because he thinks that men liking men is wrong yet. Mm-hmm. So I don't think it's any direct homophobia at the moment. We'll have to see what happens. Mm-hmm. And that's understandable. If you don't want someone hitting on you that you don't want, it's no different than unwanted advances from anyone at any point. If you don't want it, you don't want it, especially if it's not someone you're into.
Yep.
It doesn't handle it very well, which is why it kind of comes off as
But homophobic. I think that's also because, you know, he's 16. Those emotional regulations probably aren't the, you know, most developed.
Exactly. So I'm not cutting them slack on it. I just don't think that's the case yet.
Yeah.
So we'll have to see.
We're giving a chance to see more evidence.
Exactly. Akane,
mm-hmm.
strong,
independent, and fiercely independent,
but still emotional.
Yep.
Which is a good thing to have.
Oh, yeah.
Also, not into people of the opposite sex.
No.
At least, again, much like with Ranma, it might just be Ranma.
Yeah.
But that being said, they also were like, they did say they didn't want to marry a girl. So maybe that is true. She's not into girls.
Yeah, that's fair.
She said, I don't want to marry a girl. And that's fine.
Maybe she just needs to go to university.
We'll see what happens on episode 100 when they start to get into their adult years or their young adult years. But I like Akane. I think she's a sweetheart.
Mm-hmm.
I think she, like Ron, was put into a bad position and is trying to make as best as she can of it between Ranma, Blue Thunder, and everyone else, who thankfully actually all decided to accept their fate and no longer pursue her.
Yeah.
Which I am so glad happened early on in the episodes, because if that was a daily trope that happened, it would get so old.
Oh my gosh, so fast.
And thankfully they kind of cut it out. Yep. They make little like quips at it here and there, like small. There was like one passing where they're like, oh, if Ranma loses, she'll become single again.
Yeah.
But it's not like every guy. It's not. So that was nice.
It's just not overdone, which is really great, because then it does get repetitive.
We spoke on Nabiki and how she is
the worst,
kind of the worst.
Yeah.
Although a fun fact about Nabiki is she is styled after the 1906 silent film actress, Louise Brooks.
Cute.
So this is a photo of, Nabiki, and this is a photo of Louise Brooks.
She's so cool.
Who is an absolute babe.
Yeah. Holy shit.
And you can kind of see with that pointed cheek.
Oh, yep.
And the hair where it kind of flips out from underneath and the points.
Yep, that very like 1920s.
Yeah, so she's styled after her.
Cute.
If you folks want to look at home, it is Louise Brooks from the early 1900s.
And we'll put this in the Discord as well.
Yeah, we'll post some photos.
Yep.
And that's all really I have to say on Nabiki at this point. Because
other than she's a terrible sister.
Yeah. Fuck Nabiki.
Fuck Nabiki.
The other two people that I want to talk about next are the two fathers. Son and Genma.
Yep. They're just your stereotypical dads. I don't know. I don't know. I think for me, it's like Son has three daughters, no wife. The one daughter kind of has taken over the housekeeping kind of role. Kasume, yep. I just love that he's like, I have three girls. I don't know exactly how to help them with certain things. And so I'll just be here. I don't know. I like that.
Genma is an asshole.
The panda?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
Genma is not a good father. There's that clip where he's younger breaking up with that woman in one of the later episodes. It's just like a young him, random scene of him breaking up with some woman because he met someone new who he's like, just like, berating this girl and putting her down.
Oh, wow.
And then you've also got Ranma, who not only did he force to train and swim across the China Sea and force into this engagement, he also just like beats the crap out of his kid and constantly throws him in the water to make him change.
Just like trolls him. He's a neg.
And at the same time, though, he does look after him at points. He has quickly ran with hot water to change them back at certain key moments. Mm-hmm. But overall, Genma's a bit of a dick. Son is
just trying to keep him tough.
Son's a little bit of a horny guy, but he keeps it. Only happens when it's not his fault. He doesn't go looking for it.
Yeah.
But he'll, you know, throw his hands out in like frustration and accidentally cop a feel.
Oh yeah, he does do that.
So not the end of the world, but also, you know, still is happening. Could be worse.
Yep.
Dr. Tofu, we kind of really already spoke on a whole bunch. Yep.
Booksmart.
Booksmart, stupid. Really loves Kasume.
Yep.
Still a little weird because she's pretty young for him.
Yeah.
Ryogo, we spoke on.
Yep.
My only notes for Ryoga are still has really bad directional skills.
He looks like, I was just thinking about this, he looks like one of the Frog Brothers from The Lost Boys.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. We'll okay. also post a picture of that in the Discord.
Yeah, no,
also,
that's
also, if you have not seen that movie, please do. It's amazing.
I haven't seen it in so long.
Oh, my gosh. It's like the OG sparkly vampires.
Yep.
Yep. I love it.
That came out around the same time as the Wanderers? No. What's the movie, the Gangs of New York style, but set in the 80s? The Warriors.
Oh, okay. I was like, oh. The Outsiders? I don't know.
the Outsiders. Another, actually, a really quick fun fact about Ranma.
Okay.
And where the idea actually came from for Ranma.
Okay.
Is actually...
Oh, jeez.
Did you hear that sound?
How dare you?
You know what that sound means? It's another episode of Ranma Trivia.
Oh, no.
Question number 3, the final question of this episode.
Okay, hit me with it.
What city in Canada was the English dub?
Vancouver.
Well, fuck you.
Yeah, I know. I know where Viz is.
That's
again,
not...
I watched Death Note.
Well, it was actually done by Blue Water.
But you said Viz earlier.
Well, Viz Media was the people who, like, yeah, yeah. But the company that did the recording.
Mm.
Okay, you know what? Fine. You answered the question so fast, I'm going to throw another one in there.
Fine. Throw it at me.
In Japan, this is a two-parter. In Japan, what day of the week did the voice actors record?
Who knows this?
Guess.
Thursday.
Fuck!
Was it actually Thursday?
Yes! Okay, fine. The part 2 of that question.
Fine.
What? Hold on. I'm going to put back on the voice here so I don't feel as defeated.
Tobey Maguire.
What time of day, between what hours, was the recording done?
1 p.m. and 4 p.m.
Incorrect. I still win.
I got 2/3 of that right.
Fine. No, it was between 6:30 and 11.
P.m. or a.m.? Okay.
Every Thursday, weekly, because that's how
it used to
be done.
Oh my gosh, it's like Critical Role.
Exactly. By the way, we are absolute critters. So if you're a critter, join us in our Discord and check it out. And how can they get in the Discord?
Oh, I think if you subscribe to our Patreon, our really awesome nifty Patreon.
Yeah, at patreon.com/animates. That is patreon.com/animeghties.
Whoa, spelling bee champion.
I hope so.
Oh my gosh. But yeah, you get access to our Discord where we will be on there chatting and all that fun stuff. So
you also get more than just that. You also get access to behind the scenes content, polls on what we watch next.
Mm-hmm.
And you will also get access to bonus episodes. Me completely messing up what I'm trying to say.
You can also get my heavy breathing.
Oh yeah.
I got a rabbit, okay, and I'm slightly allergic.
It's okay.
I'm trying
for those of you that are into heavy breathing and want to listen to
heavy breathing, heavy metal, whatever.
Yeah, just if you want to listen to Lindsay breathe deeply as ASMR for you, I'll eventually post a compilation clip of it. Just
my heavy breathing.
Exactly. Back to the fact.
Woo!
So in again, because these are all done by the same author, in Yurusei Yatsura, there is a character who, born a girl to a father who is hoping for a boy,
yes,
is forced to live like a boy, and they just want to be able to express their female side, and they never can except for the rare moment their father isn't around where they can be them true selves.
Mm-hmm.
And that was kind of the lead-in for Ranma to exist as a concept.
Mm-hmm.
Was this being put in a body you weren't wanting to be in.
Mm-hmm.
The only difference is Ranma eventually kind of adjusts and becomes more in tune with it, but this person is just kind of being stuck and being forced, which is funny because in real life, usually people are forced to be the way they were born and yep. aren't allowed to be the people they want to be. And this way, they're trying to force them to be someone they don't want to be when they want to be the person they're born. The moral is be who you want to be and fuck the rest.
Yeah. As long as you're not hurting anybody or doing anything illegal.
Exactly. LGBTQ+ people.
Hell yeah.
We love you.
Trans rights are human rights.
Exactly. Another fact on the same line is that the character is actually styled to almost looks like Ranma. It's a bit of an Akane Ranma mix.
Okay.
And this is the one from Yurusei who is meant to be like Ranma. Especially in the 2022 version, you get more of like that look.
Yeah, you can
but they
really
keep
see it
the Akane short hair that starts in episode 10. So that kind of leads us to the end of our, unless there's any other small characters you want to talk about.
No.
There wasn't too many other people worth bringing up at the moment. Unless we want to count Peach-Ann as its own character, which,
oh my
again,
gosh, I love Peach-Ann.
Adorable.
So cute.
There's that. I'm really excited. If we end up watching more of this, if people want to hear more about future episodes of mm-hmm. us kind of talking about it, I'm excited for you to see some of the other characters that come in, because there's a ton and the show gets pretty intense. Like, you get people from all over with different powers, and it's quite neat.
Everybody on their their gap year, like studying in China, and then they fall into these cursed pools.
I don't know why everyone is looking for these cursed pools.
Right. It was on Yelp.
Yeah. Well, actually, hold on real quick. They talk about how they were looking for this ancient training ground for so long, but then they're there with a tour guide.
Yeah.
And it's like, I guess the internet wasn't a thing at the time.
No.
But still, you'd think it wouldn't be that hard just Googling, not Googling.
Yeah, I was like, Googling?
Asking around, is there any cursed things around here? Which is probably what they did. But it's just the fact that at the start, they make it out to be this ancient, hidden, place of whatever.
Yeah.
Anyway,
just dark tourism.
Exactly. Let's give our rating summary.
Okay.
Starting with the intro.
I really liked it. It was a cute. I would say probably 9 or 10.
I gave it a 9.
Yeah.
I really like the animation on it, and yep. the music is amazing.
I think the two dads running are my favorite, because they just look ridiculous.
Is fantastic. I think the only thing that would change it for me would be that extra 1 point was if the ending song was a little better.
Yep, I agree.
It's not terrible. It's just not great.
Yep.
What about plot and story?
I really liked it. I would say, 8, 9.
I also gave it, we're really lining up the last two episodes. I also gave it an 8. I think there's room for improvement, but I think for a first introduction to a series, it gives us enough differential growth. Yurusei Yatsura was episodic. It was, each episode felt like it would stand on its own with very little continuation into an ongoing story.
I agree.
This one, every episode led into the next or referenced the previous and was a constant move forward. Some of them leaving in the middle of an episode and then everyone starting and finishing an arc in it. Which I think was a really good idea. I'm going to take the lead on the animation design one here. I gave it an 8. I think for its time, it's good quality, especially with the remaster of the animation being clearer and being able to see it at 720 resolution or 1080, depending on where you're watching it. Resolution was great. I don't think there's much I could say could improve at the moment. I think as I watch more and pick up on more, I might have some more notes on that. But what did you give the animation and design?
Yeah, I was also at about an 8. I mean, just the fact that they had more budget, and I love seeing the type of medium that was used for backgrounds and stuff like that. I'm such a sucker for that. So I think I was around the same.
Nice.
Yeah.
I gave characters a 9 out of 10.
Yeah.
I think there's enough variation in the characters, and each one has their own different personality.
Yep.
They're not all the same person with a different voice. Each of the three sisters has a different personality.
Yep.
Both the parents have a different personality. Yep. Everyone has their own different way they do things. They have their own life. They have their own things that are going on, but they also kind of mesh together nicely.
Yep.
So I think a 9 out of 10 was pretty fair.
Yep, I agree. And the fact that you could, on their own, each of these characters have their own lives and interests and things that make them unique, that I really appreciated that. Whereas in Yurusei, it was this is Lem. She likes Aturo. That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The audio and soundtrack, I gave a lower score on. Now, I'm not talking intros and outros. I'm talking the music in the episode. The sound effects were fine.
Yeah.
But they use the exact same dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun constantly.
Yeah, they do.
Without words. And we're wrong. It's catchy. And I love it in the intro theme. But I need a bit more variation in the music.
Yeah, that's fair.
Just dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. Next fight. Dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. Just changing it ever so slightly. But it's always the same freaking thing. It's like with Lum, with how the exact same flying sound every time, just shorter or longer. So I'm hoping that kind of changes and the production difference in sound increases, which I'm sure it probably will. But that actually leaves us with a final rating for the first 10 episodes of Ranma, and, your introduction to Ranma at a 9 out of 10 on average.
Yeah, I would not be mad if we reviewed more episodes of this later on. Like, it was enjoyable to watch this series. You know, I felt more invested in this one.
I felt way more invested.
Yeah.
I didn't watch two episodes at 2x speed just to get through them. I actually paid attention and I watched, and there was enough moments where if I was watching something while doing something else, that it kind of like turned my head and I scrubbed back a bit on the timeline and watched it again. So if anyone out here didn't watch along with us before the start of this episode and is looking to watch, even though we just told you a bunch of spoilers and whatnot, I would still recommend going in and taking a look. I think it's going to be worth it for you.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we'll get, much like Yurusei, we'll get a remake in 2024. Who knows?
Oh, I would love that.
But I think you should check it out. And you should also check out our socials at Animates, pretty much everywhere online, TikTok, Twitter, Instagram. Follow us on your favorite podcasts, Apple Music, Spotify, whatever you use, so that you can get updated when a new episode drops each week. And as we mentioned previously, check out our Patreon.
What?
You know, a dollar or two goes a long way for helping out small little creators like ourselves.
It's true. We really appreciate all your support.
Especially Lindsay, because she just bought a house.
Oh my gosh. And it needs to be renovated. It's going to cost so much money. I need flooring and shingles.
Oof. And what sucks is we just had the shingle factory near us go up in flames. So the prices of shingles in our area are going to skyrocket.
Good thing I'm moving to a different city.
Oh yeah. Man, that makes me sad. We're not ending the episode on a sad point. We're going to do another Ranma trivia. No, I'm just kidding. We're not going to do that.
Gosh.
No.
Here,
we're not doing
fine.
That.
Fine. We'll do one.
Okay.
Here's a trivia question for you.
What?
What's Tobey Maguire's favorite food?
Is it ramen?
How dare you? It's vegan mac and cheese.
I was trying to make a Ranma ramen. I have only ever had vegan mac and cheese once, where the cheese actually was melted. I'm sure it's better these days because the cheese options are better.
Yeah, nutritional yeast.
Now I should note, I'm not jocking on vegans. I'm a vegetarian, so I eat a lot of strictly vegan stuff.
Everyone.
Yeah, so get in the comments, as Brennan Lee Mulligan would say. But with that being said, we hope you folks have a fantastic weekend, a fantastic fall, actually.
Oh my gosh, it's the fall of patriarchy, the fall of capitalism,
and
pumpkin spice lattes.
The fall of leaves to the ground.
Sure.
And
I mean, I guess that too.
We hope to see you next week, where we will be watching Angel Cop. Until then, ladies, gentlemen, they, them, and everyone else in between and outside of the box, we love you. Goodbye.
Au revoir.